Okay, so there you have it. So everyone that's on the line, and welcome to this little forum today. It is December 15th, in case anyone wanted to check. Today we're going to be introducing you to the wonderful assessment tool that you can use with coaching clients, whether it be your individual clients or couples or groups or teams or whatever. But I just would like to give a little bit of a preamble to assessments in coaching. You know, there are a lot of assessments out there. And if any of you have a background in psychology, you all know all those assessments. And then if you've come from the business world, there's tons there too. The ones you hear around in coaching, obviously, are things like the Myers-Briggs or the FIRO-B or the DISC or the Winslow, those kinds of assessments. And just for those of us that really like to work with individuals a lot on life balance, work-life balance, or redesigning their lives, I just wanted to remind you of two assessments that we often forget about, and that is the Wheel of Life, which is a wonderful personal assessment that we can use with our clients as we coach them to find out how satisfied they are with their lives. And then we also have something we call the values elicitation. And that's an exercise that we teach in our foundational program to assist our clients to articulate and define their values and then to prioritize them. But I teach in other institutions as well, and a lot of them teach a variety of other assessments. But some of the questions I think it's very important for us as coaches to ask ourselves before we use assessments is to ask ourselves, what's the purpose of this assessment? How user-friendly is the assessment? Who does this assessment really benefit? And I'm hoping it's going to be the client, because I found a lot of assessments that benefit the person leading the conversation versus the client. How does this assessment positively assist a client? So many assessments out there have a diagnostic flavor to them and focus on what's not working. So how does the assessment you want to use really assist your client by gaining more information, by understanding themselves better, by really supporting them in a positive way? And another question to ask yourself if you're using this assessment, especially in any kind of a group, and that is, will the results of the assessment you want to use be shared with all the group members? If it is, what needs to be communicated ahead of time so that everyone buys into that? Because that's a very, very important aspect. So that leads me up to this point of, obviously, the assessment we're going to be looking at today is the People Map assessment. And by the way, I just so you know my come-from place, I am not a devotee of assessments, because sometimes I think assessments are used to give the practitioner information but don't always support the client. And it's a way that if I have that information from an assessment, perhaps I'm not as connected with the client. I haven't built the right rapport yet, and I rely more on the assessment for information than my own interaction in building that rapport. So the one assessment that I do use is the People Map. So for me, a dyed-in-the-wool, don't use assessments very frequently person, to say that I really support the People Map is to make a very strong statement. Now, just what is it? It's a short, simple assessment that will identify your basic personality type, and there's also a combination type that you will discover. Now, this assessment, what is so fantastic about it, is that it is based on your strengths. So we all hear now out in the world about the powers of positive psychology. So if you think about a power of positive psychology is focusing on strengths and how to bring them to life more. And this assessment fits right into that model. It's based on your innate strengths. So what you fell to the planet with, sort of. Okay? And that is just very powerful. So it's a basic personality type assessment that focuses on your attributes and your strengths. And what you'll find is that each of the personality types has its own strengths and its own areas for growth. So you're going to also learn, when you learn about your strengths, you're going to also learn, hey, what are the areas that could trip me up if I don't pay attention to them? This assessment was developed by Mike Littlebridge, who's on the call. Yay, Mike!
All right.
Yeah. And his buddy, Andrew Mathis, in the early... did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, Andy Mathis.
Andy Mathis, okay. And I think you developed it in the early 1990s.
Yeah, I think it goes back now, about 24 years ago we developed it.
Hey, it's getting old. So just a brief look at how is it constructed. Here's the beauty of it. It's seven questions that can be answered, I'd love to say, in 7 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm.
It's self-scored, and you can score that in just a matter of minutes. So the results are immediate, so it's very gratifying to the person taking it. It's not like I have to wait for some computer to churn out and do all kinds of stuff. I can understand it in a matter of minutes. And it has more than a 90% accuracy rate. I forgot exactly the number, Mike. Do you have that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. It's about a 92% accuracy made of measuring your primary personality type.
Fantastic. So, let me just give you a little bit about the purpose of the People Map. It's designed to assist people to understand themselves better, and in that process, you learn to understand others better. Wow, isn't that awesome? As I said before, it has a lot of connections that can feed into the realm of positive psychology. There are four personality types. We're going to start with the first one's called leader. And by the way, that's the one that has a little bit of wobbliness in it. By that I mean you can be a leader and have any of the other personality types, but the leader type has some specific characteristics, okay? But it does not mean that if you're one of the other types, you can't be a leader. No, 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 okay? So there's four personality types: a leader, the second is people, the third is free spirit, and the fourth is task. So with this zeroes you in so that you learn, and what's brilliant about it, as I said, is with each type, there are your inborn natural strengths and talents. You know, I don't know about you guys, but when I teach so many classes here at ILCT, and when I teach foundational classes, when you ask people what are their strengths, they sort of blank out. It's real tough for us to know our strengths. And this is, one example of a quick way to learn some of your very powerful innate strengths. And the knowledge gained from knowing your personality type will assist you in maximizing your own success. Because when I focus on my strengths, I'm going to build those strengths, and that's going to allow me to move forward. And at the same time, if I know the things that can trip me up and can take and understand those, and perhaps if I want work on them, but at least be responsible for them, I'm going to also emphasize my strengths and move into more success. So what do you learn? And so the benefits from taking the people map, you learn your innate personality type based on your strengths, as I said. You learn the areas in your life that, if not known, can trip you up. Mike has a wonderful term for that. He calls those your Achilles heel. So you, in that process, you learn how to understand yourself and others better. You learn how to communicate with others in a manner that appeals to their type. Now, notice that shift. If you can discern another person's personality, primary personality type, and start to communicate with them in language that appeals to that personality type, you have greater understanding more quickly. At the same time, you will learn how you want to be communicated with so that your thoughts and ideas are more easily accessed. So then the question becomes, who can you use this with? Well, start out with yourself. That's a good place to start. Most certainly, from a coaching perspective, I use it all the time as part of my work with new clients. I ask them to take that because it supports them right from the beginning. And when they know their personality type, they go, yes, that's me. There's a comfort level in it. Plus, there's a place to grow from. You can certainly use it with couples. Gosh, that can create some understanding, can it, if we know each other's types. You can use it with groups or teams in an organization, and you can use it with whole organizations, be they profit or nonprofit, or big corporations or little companies, whatever. So what I wanted to do right now is to have some of us share. We have Fred on the phone. We have Mike. Has Peter come in yet? Nope. Somebody's having...
It doesn't look like it.
Nope. Okay. Thanks, Amy.
Okay.
So what I wanted to do is to share with you, I have a couple of examples to share. I'm sure Mike does. I know Fred does. On what we have heard from individuals that I've worked with. And I'll tell you, here's one. I had a client that, gosh, I knew her for a long time. I had actually been her psychotherapist and had not seen her in years. And she sent me an email, and she wanted some coaching. And, gosh, we got into coaching, and she took the people map. And so the next time we met, I said, how was that? And here was her quote, it saved my life. Now, that's pretty profound. So I said, it saved your life? Say more. What does that mean? She said, all these years, I have thought something was dreadfully wrong with me because of the way I approached things, the way I did things that were my natural way of doing it, and everybody told me that I was wrong. And she said, I took this assessment, and I realized that I have been doing it the way I am built to do, you know, work and be. And she said, it has brought me such comfort and understanding. So that's pretty profound. The most common comment I get when clients take it is the following quote, it nailed me. Fred, did you want to share from somebody that you knew?
Well, am I off mute? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, I'd be happy to do that. I've used it mostly in corporate settings with
mm-hmm.
executives that are in management positions. And as you described, they find it very valuable, first of all, to know about themselves. what are their default tendencies? What do they gravitate to? Because then they can take a look at that and say, okay, these are my strengths. I want to use these every day. And then that aspect that you talked about, the Achilles heel, everybody has one. These are growing edges, and when they understand that, they can say, okay, maybe I need to work on my people skills a little bit. Maybe I have to be careful that I don't overdo things and become a workaholic. And the people map test will let you know where you feel most comfortable and where you want to emphasize your strengths and where you want to work on your growing edges. Then you can take it and apply it to almost anybody that you would interface with in a business environment, certainly your direct reports. And generally speaking, once you understand the people map, you can make a pretty good guess about what personality type a person is if you work closely with them. You kind of intuitively understand how they do. Now, they can obviously take the people map themselves, and then you can verify what your inklings are. But you can use it with your direct reports. You can use it when you're dealing with your boss. You can use it when you're dealing with customers. You can use it when you're dealing with suppliers. Almost anybody that you would interface with, you can get a better read on what their preferences are, and by doing that, you can understand better how to communicate with them.
Fred, I just remembered an example that you had when you went over to your old high school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I took it over to my old high school, and I was talking to the principal about would it be applicable to be put in place there. And it would. There's no question about it. I didn't convince him on that visit, but I did bring the people map in and introduced it to him. And he says, now I suppose you want me to take it. And I said, yes. So he took it. As Lynn described, about 7 minutes to answer the questions, maybe another 7 to self-score. And he was a leader task type, which I had suspected going in, and he said the same thing. That's me. So it's amazingly accurate in my experience, and it really can set the stage for developing effective teams. I had one client that used it a lot in terms of how he used his direct reports. It was an engineering firm. Some people were very good at the creative design for engineering, drawing up the plans, envisioning how the streets would run and the sewer systems and things like that. But they weren't very good when it got down to the point where you were putting all that in the ground and you had to manage the project as it went out. He had other people that had that skill, more of a task-type skill. So once he began to figure out how to employ those people in the jobs that they were charged to do in his group, he found that things moved very smoothly. And as it turned out, his wife had to have an operation, so he left the company on leave for a period of time. And before he left, we previewed how he would delegate the responsibilities to his direct reports. And when he came back, we did a postmortem of how it all worked, and he said it was flawless. So getting the right people in the right place and motivating them with the proper conversations and incentives is really critical in a business environment.
He knew all their people map.
Oh, yes. In this company, everybody knew everybody's personality type. He wasn't guessing. No, he knew it. He could. It was computerized. He could call it up and take a look at it. And he talked to them about it. He'd go out to lunch with them, and they'd discuss what was on their plate, and then what how they would approach it in a way that was comfortable for them.
Great. So, Mike, do you have some stories to throw out here? I'm sure.
Well, let me just give a little information.
Mm-hmm.
You can take the people map and be as young as 14 years old. And certainly everything you've already said, Lynn, and you too, Fred, you know, it's positive psychology, it's strength-based and whatnot. I think at this point about 450,000 people have been through one of our programs. Somewhere in the United States, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, England. We're in a couple other languages now. But I think I'll give you an example, because Fred was sort of saying we could use it throughout a company. We recently did a private school where we did the principals, all the teachers. I think there were about 125 teachers, and with through kindergarten through up through high school. And then we did the high school kids. So if you were in 9th, 10th, and 11th, 12th grade, you could take a people map and also go through a training program, learning about yourself, the strengths, the Achilles heel, the areas for growth, how to communicate with others. And then the program was open to those students, those high school students' parents. So then they got involved in the process. So we had the parents trained, the high school kids trained, the teachers, the principals, the guidance counselors, the school psychologists, everybody. And that the purpose was, how can we make sure we're all helping each other, working with each other, kids are going to be successful in school. And so it's that kind of environment that we try and create with the people map. It could be a couple, it could be an individual, it could be a family, it could be a coaching client. But very often it goes throughout an organization. And not only does it go throughout the organization, but you typically could go into the organization and look on their intranet, and you could look up any person and their personality type. And this is pretty much true with all the organizations and companies that we work with. And I think the great reason is it's extremely non-threatening. When you develop an assessment that is going to be strength-based, every type is, if you will, a great type, a good type, and then we can just simply learn how to communicate with each other more effectively. So in that sense, I think the people map has been, is, and will continue to be very powerful. And I think we, when Andy and I developed the instrument, not only had did it have to be part of positive psychology, but it had to be, we felt, the key to it, outside of understanding yourself. It had to be very simple. It couldn't be complicated. That's why a 13 or a 14-year-old could take it and go through the program and does. And the other piece of it is it had to be simple. If you make these things complicated, people aren't going to sort of buy into it. They're not going to use it. Usability was very important to us. And then we had a very strong focus based on the idea, based on research, that if relationships work well for you, your life will work well. Whether it's a company trying to get along with each other so they can produce a product, it's a school, it's a hospital, it really doesn't matter what the organization, as long as people can relate to each other, communicate with each other, not get into backstabbing and not relating to each other and having disagreements they can't resolve. So that's the goal of the people map. And we back it up with a lot of research. So one type of research we do is a pre-post assessment where you rate yourself, and a second is your supervisors rate you on a paper-pencil questionnaire we developed. And we had significant improvements in communication, problem-solving, team cohesiveness, and even job productivity based on people getting along. Then we had a book that I edited written by company presidents who had used it throughout their organization and what the impact was. And then finally, company presidents talking about, did it affect their financial bottom line, which it did in a very positive direction. So whether you're using it in individual coaching, couples coaching, you're using it in with a team or with an entire organization, we got a lot of data that would say this is going to work. Here is a simple, easy-to-learn method that you basically can use the rest of your life.
You know, Mike, I had someone that had taken the people map and was thrilled with it, okay? And he was in his company, and the company came in and gave one of those other assessments, which I won't label. How's that? And he said, so I took it, but I can't use it. I don't know how to use it. How do I apply what I found out? And I think that's the other beauty of the people map, is you can use the knowledge you gain right away. And he said, with the people map, he said, I could honor myself more quickly, too, honor my strengths. And I became immediately aware of the areas of my Achilles heel and, you know, pay attention to that. And who did I need on my team to even help me with that area, you know? So it was very, very powerful. But I thought that was because he said, I can use the information immediately, and it changed how I viewed others. So I thought that was a very interesting comment in comparison, because he had taken a lot of those other assessments that are so often seen in corporate America.
Yeah. There is a little history here, which I'll tell you. Andy and I, when we first started working together, developed a clinical instrument used when people have problems. Mm-hmm. And it was a long questionnaire, 150 questions. It had 36 different scales.
Okay.
And we spent about 6 or 7 years both developing it and using it. And we ultimately used it in our clinical practices as psychologists through both of our careers. And in helping you understand, you know, how your the instrument measured how your parents raised you, what was the impact today. And so in that sense, it was very, very useful and very helpful. The problem was we never were able to train any other psychologists to use it. It was too difficult, sort of too mind-bending. It fell into the assessment that almost all psychologists make, that
yeah.
Very few people end up using it unless you're the world's expert, and it turns out only Andy and I were the world's expert
oh,
on
geez.
It. Oh, jeez. So, we had, over the course of our career, probably 500 clients who benefited from it as we work with them. So when we decided to do the people map, positive psychology had come along, and we realized we have to do something completely different. So really the people map is at the other end of the continuum. Lynn, when you started talking, you made a really interesting point, which is very often the assessment is for the assessor,
yes.
Meaning you give an assessment to someone. You use the information, hopefully in very positive ways, but that the client, the person being coached or getting therapy or whatever, isn't really directly understanding it. Where the goal of the people map was to make whoever took it, whether it was the CEO of a company, a PhD person who had a background in psychology, or a 14-year-old high school student, they became an expert in the instrument
mm-hmm.
and could use it. So
yeah.
That was the goal. It was a completely different goal, to help people say, you're the expert on the instrument. And in fact, when you work with companies where they have, you know, they're all engineers, so they're all working in a hospital, they have an expertise and understanding that you don't have. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a hospital employee. So they suddenly are able to take this information and also personalize it in their company. And I'll give you an example. We trained a medical facility that had 1,000 employees. And one day when I came to do some training, I noticed one of the individuals, well, first I noticed the one, but then I saw all of them. They had these little, like, figurines that were small, maybe only the length of an inch. And each person wore two with one on top of the other. And they looked fairly similar. I said, what is this? And they said, we had our graphics department design 4 little figures that you can clip on your short, and each one symbolizes one of your types. So when you meet somebody, and they had 27 offices, although a patient coming in wouldn't know what that was or wouldn't
mm-hmm.
even maybe notice it, they noticed it. So, oh, you're a leader cast type, as Fred just said of the
mm-hmm.
principal he met. So they knew each other's type when they went to the different offices and they worked with each other and used the material accordingly, in their case, for customer service, patient satisfaction, and team building.
Wow.
So it's very interesting how people will adapt it to their situation, their environment, their profession, their needs.
You know, Mike, I see a marketing opportunity there.
Oh, yeah.
Have four little pins, one for each type, and you can get wear your pins, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Well, we do market a desk display. You get a desk display that has your type and then different ways to relate to you and for you to relate to others. So have you asked people? I got cut off. I got myself cut off, so I had to come back in. I was outside, get the phone number and call back. But have people had questions that they wanted to ask?
Yeah, I'm going to get to that in just a moment, okay?
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because I want them to get all their answers taken. So just let me just backtrack here a second because you've heard some of our experiences now. But I just wanted to give you a little bit more information. So using the people map, as I said, with individuals, and as Mike said, as young as 14, is awesome. And for those of you working with individuals, I think it cuts through a lot and really is supportive of your clients. Think about using, if you were to use the people map with couples, notice what you do. You'd gain a clearer understanding of each other, both strengths and Achilles heels. You'd learn how to better communicate with each other using the language that is so important to them, to each other. You'd cut each other some slack, I hope, in trying times. And you're going to make better plans. Thinking about making plans like vacations and all, what do you want to do tonight? And, you know, when you understand each person's type, you have better understanding of that. And you can more easily meet each other's needs. Mike, you know, I was wondering if you could just, if you'd be willing to share with them your platinum rule.
Well, we really sort of look at a couple of things. We look at what we call, you know, we all know what the golden rule is. And the golden rule, you know, do unto others the way they'd want to be, well, the way you'd want to be done to. And that works perfectly if you're talking to somebody who is the same type as you, people to people, leader to leader. The platinum rule, which another author developed, was very simple. He simply said, you know, you need to do unto others as they would like to be done to. And we would agree with that, but we added something else we called the ACT principle, which stood for be aware, as a reminder, be aware of your own type. If we don't think about it, we tend to almost always revert back to the golden rule, treating others the way we'd want to be treated. And if we're stressed in an interpersonal relationship, we always sort of move to the golden rule. I'm going to relate to you the way I wish you were relating to me. So the ACT principle simply says, well, be aware of your own type. And then the next step in the ACT would be conscious of their type. And then finally, T, talk their people map language.
Yeah.
And if you do that, and if you think of a couple, for example, for a parent-child or a teacher-student or a boss-subordinate, if you talk their language and they're following the same ACT principle, this is why you want to really train everyone, then you've got each person talking the language of the other. Communication works better, problem-solving works better, goal-setting works better, and we don't have a disconnect between people.
Right, right.
So,
thanks for throwing that in, because I think that's important, yeah. Obviously in organizations you can use the people map as I'm probably going to repeat some of what Mike said, team building, creating group cohesiveness, leadership development, goal setting, managing change. Oh, that's big in organizations, you know, when you bring in change, and boy, using it when you know each other's type and you know yours works. Helps that change process. Better customer service, stress management, and creating employee engagement. You know, when we think about employee employees being really committed to what they're doing. If you have them in the right position, knowing what they love to do, and you're really expanding them, growing them, oh gosh, now you have created employee engagement, and that is really such a positive. So when you take the people map yourself or learn more about it as the course that Peter will be teaching, I know we'll have this in it, you're going to learn your primary type. You're going to learn your combination type. You'll learn about your strengths and what motivates you. You'll learn the areas that can trip you up or your Achilles heel and how to start manage that. And here's another piece that we haven't talked about, but you will be learning this too, I'm sure, is the five quality of life needs. So as you learn that for each type, think about this. There are five qualities that you're going to look at. What is your need for achievement? How does that show up? Your autonomy and independence need for each type. What does that look like? How about your relationship need? That will, you'll take a look at that. Your play and fun need and your health and maintenance need. So that all gets covered, and you learn about that as you learn more about the people map. And as we said, you'll learn your areas for growth. Okay, so why don't we have 20 minutes. Oh, that's lovely. We have 20 minutes for Q&A. So, Vicki, I got your and Mark's question, and Mark was asking, Mark, are you on the phone? I guess not. Anyway, Mark had asked that he was wondering how the People Map and the AVA, which is another assessment tool. Let's see, what's it called? It's the Activity Vector Analysis, which is used to determine job fit. And so how does it differ, and is it similar to the People Map? Well, the first thing that I wanted to say is on that is that the AVA is a behavioral assessment, and it was developed primarily for workplaces. So to look at workplace behaviors and to see, to meet the needs of the workplace. So it looks at workplace behaviors, job activities, and the fit between them. So as you can see from our explanation about People Map, that's not what we're doing here. Now, some of the information, knowing about people's strengths, that will give you some information on placement, but it's not a behavioral assessment. So who else has a question? Amy, can people respond right now?
Maybe have to come off mute.
Yeah, come off
yes,
mute,
they
folks.
Need to press star 6 if they would like to ask a question. And Pat is here as well.
Oh, good.
Yes, this is Vicki Johannik, and
yes.
Mark just texted me. He is on the line.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm here.
Great. So did you want to add anything else to what I just said, Mark?
Well, I missed the whole thing on the explanation on the AVA. I got the part that it's, you know, a behavioral assessment.
Right.
But then I somehow got disconnected for a short period thereafter.
Okay. So, yes, as you can see, the People Map is not a behavioral assessment. And so it is not developed. The AVA was developed for the workplace and to look at workplace behaviors. And then a variety of job activities, and then what's the fit between them. And so I understand you've been using that in your workplace, but it would not give you the same information that the People Map does.
Well, the way we use it is to make sure we have the people with the what we feel is the right profile for a certain job.
Right.
Because we had such high turnover.
Right.
And so we try to, like for sales, we try to find somebody that has a certain amount of assertiveness, has some social skills, fairly independent, has got a certain amount of high maturity energy level. And if we can hit some of those areas, then they'll probably be a good salesperson. But an office person necessarily would not have those qualities.
Right. Exactly.
And it has helped to reduce the turnover.
I bet
it has. Trying to get people to at least fit. So
yeah.
I see the MAPS is more about working with people once they're in place. Is that more accurate?
Yeah, that would be more accurate. In other words, it wouldn't matter if they were working in the office and they had to work with other people in the office and now and then clients that come in, or if they're salespeople and they've got to work with a client and size that person up right when they come in. What the people map is going to do for you is give you a quick read on any person who comes in. I think you were in a car dealership. Is that right, Mark?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So then somebody comes in. We train people in car dealerships. So somebody comes in, they want to buy a car, and if you can size them up quickly in terms of personality type, you can make your pitch more directed to their type in a language they will understand. So you're giving some of the characteristics that you see, I guess, of a good car salesman, which would be outgoing, social skills, extroverted, et cetera. That actually doesn't fit our data. Our data says almost anybody can sell a car. They may sell differently based on their type, and they will sell more successfully if they understand other people's type. So you could have a very outgoing, assertive, social people person, which is one of our types, or you could have the opposite, a leader task type, like the principal that Fred was talking to. One, they'd each sell differently, and if they understood others' types, they could each sell successfully. So it sounds to me like the instrument helps you place people, but since you have turnover, turnover is almost always related to people aren't working well with each other, as opposed to, gee, I don't fit real well in this job. So we would work more on the end of helping people understand, how am I going to sell this car, get along with my office mates, relate to somebody I manage and supervise, or relate to my supervisor successfully. That would be the emphasis that we would have.
Mm-hmm. So it makes some sense. And
so I wouldn't throw out your test for ours. I would say you could benefit from having both, probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, that probably makes sense.
Yeah.
Because right now we try to pick people that it's easier for them to sell. Where people that didn't have some of these characteristics, it might be really hard work for them to take customers and sell them. By the end of the day, they're just exhausted. Whereas somebody where it flows very easily, then it's just like, it's almost like play for them. So that's kind of the thing. We don't want to wear people out. We want to put them where they're happy and where they don't need. They're comfortable, and it matches their personality. I understand what you're saying, and it makes sense. You could use both.
Yeah.
Okay. So who else has – thanks, Mark, for sending that question in early. And I don't know, Phoebe, are you here? Phoebe had sent in a question earlier. She wanted to know, what populations do you think the people map's best for? Age, ability, disability, companies, et cetera, all of the above.
Yeah, that's an easy
one. As young as 14. Say, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, there's actually, the other day Pat and I were talking, and I said the only group we've never worked with was prisoners. You name another group. Myself, a trainer, someone has worked with that group, and usually pretty extensively. So whether it's a profit, a nonprofit, a small business, a big business, when we were with GTE, I think we trained almost 10,000 people. We've worked with little companies with 12. So there's no group that it won't work with. You need to have about a ninth grade education to understand the words, the concepts, etc. But a lot of parents explain the people map concepts right. to their children. So when my children were young and my youngest daughter, when she was 7, we explained all the concepts to her. When she was 12, she took it at church. And she's in college now, 21, and a waitress in a restaurant. And she took it about 6 months ago, 9 months ago, and she came out the same type she was when she was 12. And
interesting.
It fit
yeah.
her to a D. So there's just pretty much no group that you can't train. And it's not a difficult instrument, and the concepts aren't difficult. So
right.
pretty much any group can understand this easily.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, it's Jim from Youngstown. And my question is in working with either engaged couples, married couples, have you done any any evaluations on levels of emotional connectedness that occur? And what do you notice post-assessment and when people start working with the results?
Well, let me give you a little sort of a broader base and then answer that. First, we found that there were three types of couples. One type of couple was identical, sort of in the combination type. So a people first and task second marries a people task type or task people, just that the two top ones are similar for both couples. And in our research, that was about 15%. So marrying somebody just like you on two of the four items shows up about 15%. Leader task marries leader task. The other small group, which was about 15%, was they were exact opposites. A leader task type marries a people free spirit. So they each have two types, obviously, 98% of the population does, and they're a complete opposite. Then the third type, and most common, around 70%, is they share one in common and one different. A people type who is people task marries a people free spirit. So they have one very much in common, people, and then they have an opposite. Task and free spirit are opposites. So then the first thing that we looked at once we had that data is, because people ask all the time, well, what's a good marriage? What should they be? And there it turns out there is really no good marriage. Should you marry someone just like you, totally different from you, or sort of a mixture? It turns out they each type has loads of success, and each type of those three have some challenges that they have to deal with. And if they successfully deal with those challenges, just as the individual has to deal with their own Achilles heel and overcome it in what we call transformational learned strengths. So if you overcome the Achilles heel, you're going to turn it into your second set of strengths. Your primary strength is inborn, now you're going to have some acquired strengths by overcoming that Achilles heel. So couples sort of have to wrestle with that a bit each. And not to take up our whole time on couples, but if you just sort of see it, this idea of emotional connectedness, being close, what's going to happen for couples? Because we have a couples program, so you can go through it as a couple. And what we found is just as we're sort of finding in the world of business or coaching or anywhere else, is there's a tremendous amount more of understanding of each other. And, you know, John Gottman, the big guy in marriage, you know, John Gottman has said that really about 70% of the problems that couples bring and come in with really aren't treatable in the sense that nobody's really changing. And so we're going to have to come to some level of acceptance and adaption with those kind of things. And in the 30% we can change and couples can grow from, they should do that. But I think the thing we found is just having the awareness of your spouse's type and being able to say, I see that's why they want to solve problems this way. Mm-hmm. I see that's why they have these interests. I see that's why they get upset with me. And it, what it does is it takes it away from the person. They're frustrating me too. Oh, I understand that type better. I understand that type better. And I'll give you an example. Lynn had asked for, did I have a story? Here's a quick story. We had a trainer and a coach in Los Angeles. I live in Tampa. And he worked at a drone factory. And a woman, and he was putting the whole company through the people map training. And a woman who was in a managerial role was really in conflict with four women she supervised. And she was a strong leader task type. Mm. And the four women were people types of some type, people, free spirit, people, leader, people task, something. And so there was really a butting of the heads. And he had called and asked if I would do some coaching with her. And when I got her on the phone, I just sort of sensed maybe we don't really have to go that route, especially when she talked a little about her family. She had three grown children, two in college, one in high school. They all still lived at home, and a husband. And she really was kind of resisting that she might be able to work more effectively with this, with the women she supervised, based on what my trainer coach said. So I said to her, why don't we create a library when we go into companies, or multiple libraries if they have multiple offices, and it's got videotapes and audio tapes, more people maps, books, just all kinds of stuff. So I said, why don't you go down, talk to Hugh, who was the trainer coach, and get some stuff from the library, and won't you be willing to give, because your kids are old enough and your spouse, would you be willing to give them all a people map? And you can take home a live CD, and they can just pop it in the car. It's only 45 minutes. And they can sort of get the basics, and you can teach them. You can teach them. And she said, yeah, I'd be glad to do that. So I call back 2 or 3 weeks later, and I say, well, how do things go? And she said, unbelievable. As she had talked about one of her daughters, I knew she that daughter was a people type, just like the people she was managing. And she said, this has been dinner table discussion every night for 3 weeks. Wow. Every night we talk about this, we laugh about this, we have stories to share with each other. Well, two of the girls were in college, the boy was in high school. They were talking about their boyfriends. They wanted her to go back and get some for their boyfriends. And so this was going on and on. And she said, you know what, Mike? She said, I begin to see that my daughters, who are both people types, are a lot like these women I supervise. And it's making some big changes down here at the office. And when I got a hold of you, the trainer coach, he said, oh, absolutely. The women have said things have changed. So one of the things we do is we build into our contracts that every person is going to be able to take material home, people maps home, a book, tapes, CD, DVD, whatever it is, and they're going to be able to share it with their spouse. And what we find is if you use it at home, which is a safe place to start and an important place for you, you will use it at work. And so this is really now part of almost all of our contracts. And it's become very successful, and it led me to develop a couples program just so we have that, which we usually offer through churches, synagogues, and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting, and our goal is to make each and every person, just like that woman, just like her staff, but also like her kids and her spouse, make everyone an expert. That's a key concept for us. You're going to be an expert in a system that is people skills oriented that you can use if you'll practice for 2, 3, 4 weeks as that woman did with her family and then her employees. And it will, we think, change your life in a very positive direction, and you'll be able to keep these skills for the rest of your life. So that's the mission. That's the goal as we see it. And actually, I guess we have three classes. We have Peter teaching a class on how to become a people map trainer. So you go through that, and you can be certified to teach our basic people map program. I teach a course also in January that starts that's going to be doing executive coaching, where you will be coaching two people in a company that the entire company has gone through people map training. The entire company has gone through people map training. So you will get to see an entire company, what their people maps look like, what the culture looks like as a result of that, and then you'll be able to coach two people who've already had a significant amount of training, and then most of them will be in a leadership program we're giving them, and they will also be getting the coaching. So you will learn a lot about the people map in that program. And then I think, Lynn, you should share with them what you're going to do, which is going to be focusing on assessments and relationships, if I'm right.
Exactly, exactly. And that's in the developmental stages, so don't get too... But we're going to develop something around people mapping couples. So that's just getting started. So it'll take a little while, but that's on the agenda for 2015.
Yes, and the other two courses start in January.
Right, right. So I know you're at the top of the hour, but other questions? I heard someone else right there.
Yes, I have a question. Is there any way we could get emailed the information when the classes would actually take place, the date?
Well, the classes that are going to start in January are on the ILCT calendar.
Okay.
I will. This is Amy Lynn. I will include the class information and a link
in the email
that I send up follow-up. Yep.
Awesome. And then
Amy.
I have another. Yes. And yes. And then I have another question. I'm a family life education student, graduate student, who's getting ready to graduate in March of next year. And it's interesting because while in school I came up with the concept of map living, people living map lives, meaningful, effective, powerful lives. And so I came across this and I thought it was really interesting. And as I was listening, I thought, yes, I'd love to be able to use this in my coaching practice. If I decide to use the people map assessment, is it something I would have to follow the way you prepare me through your certification courses how to do it in order to use that? I'm not sure if I'm being clear.
You are. I'd say yes. That would be a good thing to do. One of the things we set out to do, that's not to say that people don't call our home office, our corporate office, and order people maps and really have little or no training, but they have some professional training. They're a coach, they're a counselor, they're an HR person. Will we send them? Yes, because one, you can take the instrument. The interpretive data is built in. So you take a people map. Not only can you read about your own type, you can read about the other types. So that's all built into the instrument. So if people called and order them, do we sell it? You bet we do. But do we recommend that you might want to go through some training and get some training? You can become certified, but you can at least get some training so you can use the instrument, whether it's in coaching or teaching. And I would say the vast majority of people who order from us have had that training. So, but it's really going to be up to you. We encourage it, but we don't require it.
Right. And so what you're saying is I can use it along with my business. I can use it as a part of my business. I would just follow the format that you teach me.
Yeah, that is correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you. I'm willing to stay on for a few more minutes if there are other questions.
Well, I'm going to go play golf, and I'll stay on for a few minutes too.
Yeah, just one more quick question. In the ILCT training that's starting in January, the courses that are on Tuesday and Friday.
The foundational class? Yeah.
Correct, yeah. So is people map certification a part of that, or is that later?
That's later.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Uh-huh. And I'll be teaching that class, by the way, in case anybody is interested.
Okay, well, I'll see you there.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So, last
yes,
offering, if you have questions.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Yes, I was just wondering, can you explain again what the January class is versus what certification is so I can understand what the difference is?
Okay, so ILCT is the course that we're offering in January is our foundational course, okay? The certifications come from other institutions, so our course... Our materials at ILCT, we're called an ACTP program. That stands for Accredited Coach Training Program. That accreditation comes from the International Coach Federation, ICF. So all of our curriculum is based on the core competency set forth by ICF, as well as we certainly follow their code of ethics. Okay. So ICF is a certifying body. So what we do is we offer coaching education that following then, if you want to become certified, you would have to have a certain amount of education, a certain number of coaching hours, a certain number of mentoring or supervision hours, et cetera.
Okay, I guess I'm not making myself clear. Do I need to become certified as a people map trainer, not certification as a board certified coach or anything like that?
No, you do not, to answer that question. You don't have.
Yes.
If you went through the executive coaching practicum, you will get a big dose of the people map, and as a result, you can order it, use it with your clients, do what you want with it. And so people do who go through the executive coaching practicum. Some people want to learn exactly how it's taught as a program in businesses and schools. And so then they sign up for, with Peter, they'd sign up as opposed to with me, they would sign up with, I want to become a certified trainer. And they go through a 12-week program that certifies them to teach the basic course.
Okay,
but in either course that Peter's doing or I'm doing, you will learn a whole lot about the people map and you will be able to use it.
Okay. That was my question. So what if we go through the course in January, then we can use it to work with businesses or couples or anything
absolutely.
Like that based upon people map skills. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay, great. That's what I wanted to know.
Oh, great. I'm sorry I misunderstood you. So, anyone else before we call it a day?
Lynn, it's Caroline. I had a question for anybody, or Mike, or you. Of the four personality types, what are the ones that are there some that are more congenial and some that have a harder time understanding each other?
Mike, are you
mean that is one of the types going to have a tougher time interpersonally?
Yeah, with another type.
With another type. No, here's what we found. We tend to relate easily and our best, or we think we are relating easily and our best, with people who are exactly like us. Sometimes we're actually not, but we think we are. No, I think what we have found is that every type is going to be successful to some degree just based on their natural strengths, and they're also going to struggle a little bit. So I'll give you a quick example. We ended up coming up with what we called 8 interpersonal competencies. It turns out that, and there were 4 what we called hard people skills and 4 soft people skills. And we found leader types were great naturally with the 4 hard people skills, but they weren't too hot with the soft people skills, and that became part of their transformation. On the other hand, the exact opposite, people types were real good with the soft people skills, but they struggled with the hard. So that became their transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go over to free spirit and task, although they had other issues to address, Some free spirits were real good with some hard and some soft, but not others. And the same was true with cast types. So what we found is, regardless of your type, you're going to be real good at some of the necessary skills for communication, and some of those are not natural for you and are going to be kind of difficult. But the good news is you can learn them. You can learn them. And it's not related to gender, age, education, or anything else. They are learnable skills. So we teach them to high school students. We teach them to college students. And we teach them to people who are getting ready to retire in a few years. So they're each going to have to learn something. And so there is no one type that's, oh, this is the big struggle for them. We all got some strengths. We all got an Achilles heel. The key is play to your strengths and then build your Achilles heel.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You bet.
So, I want to thank all of you for being here today. And Mike, thanks for being here and just adding to this. It made it absolutely come alive. So I appreciate your being here as well. So, thank you all. And I'm going to call this meeting to an end, this forum to an end for today. And hopefully we'll see some of you around campus, so to speak. How's that? If you have any further questions, feel free to email Ellen or me or anyone at ILCT, and we'll see what we can do for you. So take care, everyone, and thank you again.
Thanks, Lynn. Yep. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Caroline.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.